You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's the penultimate day of 2020. That's right. We've got today and tomorrow. And that's it. On to 2021. Excited about that. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Honestly, I don't have a heck of a lot to talk about today, so we'll keep this one short, but at least want to address a few things. We'll talk about Jim Harbaugh and the contract of it all. Why, again, like, it? I don't understand it's being made into a giant deal. I understand that things can happen, but, like, there's just a bunch of dumb BS out there. So we'll talk about that. Talk about three positive things, because I've talked about a lot of negative things. I did a three positives, three negatives today article. There's three positive things I think came out of 2020. Honestly, failed season. So we'll get into that, and then we'll just talk about, there's one little cool thing that I want to get to, and so we'll get to that. It'll probably take about 2 minutes, because I probably don't have more than that to talk about. But anyway. All right, so this, again, I said this yesterday, a certain sect of people out there are the ones that keep pushing this narrative about, why won't Ward just come out and say it? Why won't, you know, why is this not done? All this stuff. People claiming that they know, you know, what's going on outside of... Listen, I trust Chris Ballas when he says it's a done deal. Because I trust his sourcing. And I trust Chris. Like, I know Chris very well. I trust him. But there's others out there that, like, they're just like, well, Ward could just come out there and say... You just say that it's going to happen. Those people don't understand contracts. You'd be giving Jim Harbaugh literally all of the leverage. Not that, I mean, he's got a ton, but I mean, if you're Ward Manuel and you come out and say, listen, we're gonna go ahead and give Jim whatever he needs in order to ensure that we keep him, then his number could be exactly what it is now, and they might want it to be lower, which is what it sounds like. It could be, you know, you're just giving him all the leverage. Like, they're not going to say anything until pen is put to paper. I understand. We're in December 30th. It was 6 years ago today that he was introduced at Michigan. But... I don't think it's this grand conspiracy that he's waiting to see what NFL jobs open up. If that was the case, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They're out there offering kids. They just signed a class. Harbaugh went and told all of these guys that signed, like, listen, my intent is to be here. We just got to hammer it out. He's got a year left on his contract. He's not going to just up and leave, number one. It baffles me that this is still a narrative that's being pushed. It's not a big problematic thing. They signed their class. You know, I'm sure they're still trying to get a couple others. There's people out there reporting that they're targeting Antonio Shelton from Penn State, the defensive tackle that's in the transfer portal. I'm pretty sure they're targeting that Western Michigan linebacker whose name escapes me, who's in the article that I wrote about. They're targeting, what's his name, Connor Murphy, who was the only person that Jim Harbaugh had a sleepover with that did not eventually end up at Michigan, who's transferring from USC. If he's a foot out the door, they're not doing any of this stuff, man. Just use a little bit of logic. If he's like, man, I just got to see if I can get that Jacksonville job. See what Detroit offers me. Listen, he wouldn't be doing all this stuff. He just wouldn't be. I understand some seasons have to end NFL-wise. Maybe there's a bargaining chip in there for him where he wants to see what the financial package would be from an NFL team that might offer him so he can, you know, because he still wants to make money, of course. I know money isn't his determining factor. But if there is a market for him in the NFL and there's reports that NFL teams have, you know, reached out, he might just want to see what the money is and say, you know, if Michigan's like, hey, we want to offer you this substantially less thing, he might just want to come back and say, hey, this is what NFL team, this is what my market is right now. Come closer to that. Match that. Something of that nature. It doesn't have to be this grand conspiracy. It doesn't have to be this crazy, crazy thing that everyone else is coming up with. And I always fall back on the John U. Bacon, Nick Baumgartner advice. Anyone who claims that they have, and this isn't from like the Ballas thing. Ballas, I know where I don't know specifically where he's getting his intel, but I have a pretty good idea. So this isn't included. But anyone who seems to have a direct line to Harbaugh's thinking, what he intends to do, is making things up. Because he doesn't have an inner squad. And the people that he does have an inner squad with are acting like he's going to be at Michigan for the long haul. And I know exactly who those people are, and I know those people. So these people just that are saying these things, they just need to give it up. They're just trying to be relevant. And in my opinion, it's sad. That's where I'm at with it. I just think it's sad. If he says he wants to be here, I take him at his word there. The fact that they haven't moved on, because if the intention was he was going to go to the NFL and they were going to bring in someone else, guess what? Harbaugh would be gone. If it was a situation like I read earlier today where it was, he's waiting to see what NFL jobs are there, and Ward's just waiting patiently, knowing that. Listen, if that was the case, he would be gone, and they would be in on someone else right now. That's what the case would be. Just use some coaching logic. Could he move on? Maybe, if they reach an impasse, but I trust more what Chris Ballas says, that it is basically a done deal. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Built Bar. You all know how much I love Built Bar. I need to order another box because I miss them. The maple pecan ones that I was getting were incredible. Right now I know that for limited time they have these white chocolate ones. You can do a mix and match, like white chocolate cherry and all kinds of different white chocolate ones. I've bought countless numbers of boxes. I know many of you out there have too. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? It's this wonderful protein bar, high protein, low calorie, low carb, low sugar. Tastes like a candy bar. You don't need a bottle of water to wash it down. It's absolutely wonderful. So go to builtbar.com, put in promo code LOCKEDON, get 20% off your next order. Promo code LOCKEDON, 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. All right, so I did a three negatives, three positives thing coming out of 2020. And I just wanted to go over the positives real quick because I think that that's not something that we're talking enough about. I like to keep things positive more than negative, of course. I don't feel like I'm grasping at straws here with it. I mean, I'll give you my negatives first just so you know. The team regressed as a whole. The running backs rotation was a disaster. And quarterback play was pretty close to being a disaster. Then I break it down. You can read it all out on Wolverine's Wire. But for my positives, and we'll break these down a little bit more. Positive, and this is going to get into something that I've already talked about, but again, it's worth mentioning. A lot of younger players saw the field. A lot of the people that are outcry right now are in full high alert mode were the same people that were saying months ago, you know what, you just treat 2020 as whatever you get is great. Just throw as many young players out there knowing how much inexperience you've got. And then they had to do it, honestly. And it's like, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. Pick and choose which one you want. So here's the guys that weren't factors in 2019 or, you know, before that really, that got 40 or more snaps this year. A lot had more, way more than that, but we'll say 40 or more. I'm going to read this, and this is a lot of names. Joe Milton, Cade McNamara, Blake Corum, Ryan Hayes. I included a couple guys that had a couple starts under their belt, like Ryan Hayes, Andrew Stuber, but weren't like giant piece of the rotation. Carson Barnhart, Andrew Stuber, Andrew Vastardis, Chuck Filiaga, Zach Zinter, Roman Wilson, AJ Henning, Taylor Upshaw, Luigi Villain, David Ajabo, Gabe Newberg, Chris Hinton, Jess Spate, Donovan Jeter, Julius Welshoff, Michael Barrett, Adam Shibley, Anthony Solomon, Ben Van Sumeren, Hunter Reynolds, Makari Page, Jamon Green, and Jalen Perry. Again, Michigan had the number 125 least experienced team out of 130 teams going into the season. Of course, not all 130 teams ended up playing. Yes, Alabama, I think, was 126. So it's not always, you know, it's not a science necessarily always. But, I mean, that's a lot of inexperience. That's how many players. I don't have the count right there, but that's a ton. I mean, of course they were going to have some issues. It's not like 2017 when, yeah, it was kind of a similar deal. A lot of the players that played in 2017 got a lot more time in 2016 than these guys got in 2019. Like that entire defense, right? Those new starters, 10 new starters, right? Devin Bush got a lot of play. Chase Winovich and Rashawn Gary got a lot of play. I can't remember who played opposite Mo Hurst on the defensive line offhand right now. David Long and LeVert Hill got a lot of play. You know, like they had a lot of players. Kalik Hudson, Tyree Kennel, a lot of players who Josh Metellus, who had gotten significant playing time the year before. Whereas I just named that list and it's much bigger than 10. I know you had two freshman wide receivers and, you know, all kinds of others, but like the running backs, you know, all three running backs had pretty significant time on task. A lot of the offensive line had time on task, not all of them, but you know, Michael Onwenu had gotten in quite a bit. Ben Bredesen had already started a year. That they had plenty of guys who had more time on task than this team had. So that's a huge positive going forward, because I know it was a negative experience this year, but it kind of makes you think back to like 2015 compared to 2014. 2014, they were kind of in that same kind of limbo. Not a lot of seniors. There were only like 7 seniors that had any kind of play, or it wasn't even 7 that had plenty of playing time. There was like 7 total that were honored at the bust in 2014. Devin Gardner and Jake Ryan being the chief among them. But other than that, I mean, there really weren't like a bunch of seniors. And some of those guys that were key features in 2015 had gotten their first significant playing time in 2014. So that's a big positive. Next positive, again, something I've talked about. Trouble position groups improved as the year progressed. Look no further than your corners. Jamon Green finished with a positive, like not just a positive, but like an actually like good, it's in the green rating defensively for Michigan this year. Vincent Gray didn't, but he had such a bad performance against MSU. He was at like a 35 grade that even though he was in like the 70s for the rest of it, it really dragged him down. But those two really settled in. Vincent Gray seemed to have kind of figured things out against Indiana. Jamon Green was still struggling. Vincent Gray pretty much was solid through, you know, from there on in, save for the tackling against Penn State, which he got a very bad grade for. Like, great grades across the board except for his tackling was terrible. But Jamon Green, he, the last two games, played really good. Played really good against Rutgers, had one breakdown with where the Bo Melton touchdown happened. Other than that, was pretty much solid and was incredible against Penn State. Offensive line got, I know that they weren't really giving up sacks, but they were on ice skates a little bit for two games. Looked really good as guys got settled in for the most part. Yeah, there were some trouble areas here and there, but I mean, they tied for the least amount of sacks allowed in the Big Ten with Indiana. They just got better and better, despite the fact that you had three guys that didn't start the season by the time that they played against Penn State. That the fact that you only had two guys who started the season even in there. Huge credit to Ed Warner. But you at least had some where there were some issues. You saw them get better on a week-to-week basis. Last positive, and then we'll move on. This one's a little bit more hypothetical. But I said, in a weird year, Michigan now knows what problems it has to fix. They've already addressed one of them. They've dismissed Don Brown. We'll see what they do as far as hiring the next guy. But I think that's the thing, right? Like, I can sit here and tell you the running back rotation was bad. The quarterback play was bad. That they were inconsistent, that they were not executing as a team. People were out of position. People aren't using proper technique. They know all of that, and they'll be able to really address it. And if this year gets back to normal and you can have the spring ball and fall camp and all the stuff that traditionally you have, especially with still a relatively young team, you can fix a lot of that stuff. So I think that they are in a great position moving forward based off of that. Yes, the negative becomes a positive. And I understand for some that's probably not going to work. But to me, considering, you know, Jim Harbaugh has a really good track record. Usually the teams he's had have gotten better. Hasn't been that case at Michigan. But usually they get better. When he took over the 49ers, they were bad. When he took over Michigan, it was bad. When he took over Stanford, it was bad. When he took over San Diego, it was okay. So, I think that I trust him to make those types of decisions to get things back on track. And there's rumors out there that he might bring in Joe Moorhead. I don't know the validity of those. I just have read the rumors. You know, to be a co-coordinator with Gattis. Listen, I think the co-coordinator thing is just really smart because more and more teams are doing it. Ohio State's been doing it. And, you know, take a page out of their playbook. I know that, you know, some people might not like it, but I think that it's a great way to have enhanced accountability too, right? So, yeah. Anyway, that is all I have for that. So, but before we move on, are we ready for some football? College football is knee-deep into bowl season. The Duke's Mayo Bowl happened today. Wisconsin won the game. Paul Chryst did not get doused in Mayo. It's a travesty and a tragedy. But there's plenty of big matchups coming up. We got Florida coming up here against Oklahoma, which is going to be really intriguing. Georgia-Cincinnati. You got the two playoff games. NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clearer. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. So, I mean, just so many games that you're going to want to go in and put bets on, right? If you like sports wagering, then this is the week to do it. Because college football, if you're listening to this, college football is your thing. NFL might also be your thing. You know, you might want to bet on that Lions defense to let whoever is replacing Dalvin Cook this week to have a career day. and say, you know, skull for the Vikings. That's what I would do. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Final thing for me, I just think it's cool. For the first time since 2014, Chad Henne is going to be starting in an NFL game because the Kansas City Chiefs are resting Patrick Mahomes. No use at 14-1 to put him out there, right? Like, there's 0 point. You've got your playoff position locked in. You got home field locked in. So you might as well rest him. Chad Henne, my quarterback, because I had two quarterbacks at Michigan because I went to Michigan in 99 and I dropped out after I stopped going to class in winter 2000 semester. But I came back from 2004 and left in, you know, 2008. So I had 1 year of Tom Brady, but then I had 4 years of Chad Henne. Chad Henne, Mike Hart, Jake Long, all those dudes. So I am super amped to see my quarterback, Chad Henne, get that opportunity to go out there and sling it around a little bit. Would be great to see if he's not just a game manager, that maybe he can go out there and do a little something-something. I know I can't imagine being close to my age trying to do it. I know Tom Brady obviously already does it, and he's older than I am, but I just think it's really cool that he's going to get that shot. Hopefully, you know, Tyreek Hill and some of those other guys will be able to play. I don't know if he ended up playing, because I had picked him up on the fantasy league I'm in with Trent Noop, and then I dropped him because he was questionable the night before the game, and I'm like, I don't want to risk it. I'm going to forget. Let's just replace, and I did a bad job of it. But I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was also out, so hopefully he's at least got some components to help him out, right? But you could have him. You could have Frank Clark, Mike Dana. Taco Charlton's been out with injury. I don't think he's coming back, but maybe in the playoffs, but I don't think he's coming back right now. Nonetheless, the Michigan, there's a couple teams that are really Michigan-centric. The Chiefs are one of them. The Patriots are the other. So, I mean, the Steelers are as well when healthy, but they're not healthy. Devin Bush out. Zach Gentry never gets to play, and when he did, he got injured. Chris Wormley's the only one in there. So, I don't know. I just think it's really cool that Chad Henne's going to get that next go-around. All right, that's all I got for today. Tomorrow, New Year's Eve, we'll have the mailbag. Get your questions in on Twitter. Excited for that. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Peace.